Hello and welcome to Qualifying. We've just obviously watched the qualifying at Imola, which has been pretty exciting, I have to say. We start this European leg, which is five races, until we go off to Canada, and that will be in mid-June. So we've got five races of the European leg. The temperatures are a wee bit chillier in Italy, 12 degrees air temperature, track temperature 27. We do have the tyres that we had in Bahrain, so it's the same compounds of tyres, which means that the teams are obviously not going to run through the tyres as much, so we're looking at a one-stopper for this particular track. This track, Imola, it's an old-school track, gravel and grass. Not what we would see a large tarmac runoff areas. Track limits are being policed pretty well, as we've seen for qualifying, but they have put in obviously these yellow bollards, sausage curbs and stuff to stop them using these areas, which has seemed to be quite effective. Derek, can I come to you first? We watched qualifying there. Not what I expected in any way, shape, or form, really.
No, as I said to you yesterday, it was Red Bulls to cock up, and I think Max Verstappen managed to perform, you know, so well done to him.
Right, well,
nicely surprised for Ferrari, so that was all right. I really enjoyed quali. Commiserations to Lando Norris. I thought he'd got it there. I thought I really did, but he banged to rights. He was off the track, so... You know, no excuse, you know, and he says himself, no excuse.
Paul, qualifying, how did you feel it went? It wasn't what I expected. I thought it was pretty exciting. It was great. It was tactical. Your take on it?
Yeah, pretty much the same. Really exciting. Not what I was expecting at all. Although I did think Hamilton would get pole. I think I also did, on my fantasy thing, pick Verstappen to be third. It was just Bottas that underperformed. But yeah, really exciting. And yeah, gutted for Norris at the end there. I thought he got on the front. On the front row of the grid, but not to be, not to
track limits. Track limits. I mean, we have to be happy that they're policing it in such a way. They must be busy in the steward's office, but I'm more happy that these types of things are now being looked at, especially after the first race. They've got to have clarity on it. Luke, starting at the back of the grid, let's run through them quickly. Tsunoda, 20th because he binned the car at the top of the hill at the chicane. It looked quite low speed in the replays. It probably wasn't. It was probably like 80 miles an hour. But the back end of the car just disintegrated. A long night for the AlphaTauri boys to get that car up and running. Then we come to Haas, where we expect them to be. Mazepin in 19th, Schumacher in 18th. Alfa Romeo, we've got Giovinazzi in 17th and Kimi in 16th. That was obviously Q1. Coming out of Q2, we're looking at Alonso in 15th. He's going to be disappointed with that, Derek. I mean, Ocon qualified 9th, so Alonso in 15th, he's got to be asking himself some questions on that one.
He's disappointed. He's been out-qualified by a teammate for the first time since 1888 or whenever it was that, you know, whenever he was last in Formula 1. They just didn't perform. Felt sorry for Tsunoda. With a new gearbox and all the penalties, he'll be starting back at the garage, you know. Not
20 miles down the road.
Yeah, 10 miles down the road, he might have a chance, you know. But
It was a weird one. I mean, the back end of the car, when they were moving it, it looked like the rear axle had detached from it. And it went into a tyre wall, but part of me is like, that's the crash structure doing its job. But it was so low speed in comparison to F1 terms, and it just backed into a three-deep tyre barrier. Now, there was some water in them, but I was surprised at how much damage it did.
The crumple zone worked. That's what you've got to say. The crumple zone worked. I mean, the exhaust and everything like that was sort of vertical. So,
everything was hanging off it. Yeah. Let me come to you, Paul. The Williams boys, Latifi in 14th and Russell in 12th, and they were disappointed. I know Russell was, and even the team thought he was going to make it into Q3, but it just goes to show Williams has moved forward. And to be honest, even 14th for Latifi and 12th for Russell, that's a brilliant performance for Williams. It's got to be said.
Oh, it's an outstanding performance. I was expecting them to struggle to get out of the first qualifying, but brilliant. And the fact that they were disappointed not to be pushing to get into the final round, it says a lot about how far they've came.
Sandwiched in between the two Williams boys, we've got Vettel in 13th. Derek, a bit disappointing for Vettel. I get that he's still playing catch-up from what has been a poor test, a poor race in Bahrain. But 13th, Stroll in 10th, so there's not a huge difference between them, but Vettel was hoping for really a better position in 13th, surely.
I think they're still feeling that as Otmar Satnav, or Otmar Satnav, or whatever you want to call him, has said, he's still finding his way around. No,
look, can I just say, Derek, you are on top form today.
I'm trying my best. Look, as he says, they're talking, they're trying to talk to the FIA over F1's involvement in the changing of the rules, and they're going to spit the dummy out. So they can't really look like they're doing really well. Like, you know, in the first week, they were up there with Vettel. He was doing quite well, you know, but then suddenly, all right, we better pull it back a little bit just so that we can have our little complaint and we can take him to court and get a bit of money. So we're ready for next year. So I think there's a bit of sandbagging going on here.
Derek, I think that they're going to get absolutely, they're on a hiding to nothing on that one. I think it's just publicity either for the shareholders or, you know, the word could become for Lance Stroll that they've got to make all of this noise. At the end of the day, I just think that fake Merc from last year has been carried forward and they've just not developed as well as what Mercedes have. Look, we mentioned obviously Russell there in 12th, but considering how close he was to the 11th place person, Sainz in 11th. Now, let's be honest, it's one of Ferrari's home races. They're just a bit down the road for this as well, but 11th for a Ferrari in Italy again after what we thought was a lot of promise for these cars. And again, when you look at where Leclerc has qualified in 4th, Sainz has got to get his act together pretty damn quick. Paul, would you say that this is Ferrari's problem for last season, rearing its ugly head again? We've got Leclerc performing maybe ahead of the car for 8th, maybe up to 4th, and his teammate who may help him out, etc., is still struggling as Vettel did in the car?
I think it's more a case of difference in drivers. Leclerc's overperforming again in that car. Sainz, I think, struggling a bit. That's a mixture of the car and basically just not being as good as Leclerc.
Derek, would you agree with that? I think a lot of this comes down to Leclerc's performance. I had an off yesterday, but I don't think it's really fazed him. Leclerc fourth in that. Again, the same as in Bahrain. It's a good performance for the Ferrari, the lead car.
Again, yes, I agree with you, but another tactical manoeuvre by Sainz to have choice of tyres in 11th place, can do what he wants, can travel with wherever he wants to go. Mm-hmm. I think give him another couple of races and he'll be up to speed with the Ferrari ways of working. I think he's got a good chance of bettering Leclerc or being dragged up by him. And I think he's just getting used to the car. But I think he's in a better position tomorrow to start in 11th and move forward. Watch
just,
tomorrow.
Just needs
and
to get in.
That's me being positive about a Ferrari car. And I'll go and wash my mouth out with carbolic. I'll be back in a minute.
Moving into the top 10, we've got Lance Stroll, we mentioned there in 10th. It feels that that's where the Aston Martins are at the moment until they stop their bitching and get on with it. And that's maybe just where they are now, let's be honest. Ocon in 9th, a good performance for Ocon. He looked good on track. Let's be honest, if you're out qualifying Alonso, you're doing something right. And maybe our thoughts on Ocon for last year, that he maybe wasn't going to move forward in that team where Alonso arrived and may have been unfounded. We'll see how he progresses. Moving into 8th, we've got Bottas. Now, we said yesterday in the podcast that the winner of this race isn't really going to come down to maybe Lewis and Max. It's going to be between Bottas and Perez to help these guys out of the front. And unfortunately, Lewis doesn't have a wingman with Bottas in 8th. Maybe a mistake somewhere, but maybe a bit of pressure on Bottas, Derek. Do you think that's maybe having a start to, even this early in the season, starting to play its part in Bottas' move away from Mercedes by the end of this season?
Now, you see, you're not being cynical. You've got to be cynical because what it means is Bottas has put himself in the prime position to mess up any tyre change by Red Bull because they will probably come out about 8th and get stuck behind Bottas, who will make himself as wide as a bus. And that will then be ideal opportunity for Lewis to put his foot down, come out in front of him, and then he holds him up for another half hour while he goes off and wins the race. That's me just being cynical. I think Bottas needs to get his act together and come out fighting because he shouldn't be down in 8th and he shouldn't have made that silly mistake he made on the lap.
Paul, coming to you for McLaren, Norris in 7th. He did have it on the front row. Unfortunately, track limits came and bit him on the backside. Norris all weekend has looked ahead of Ricciardo, and unfortunately for the start, Norris is 7th and Ricciardo 6th, which I think is I don't think that's the real position on the track. However, we saw in Bahrain that in the first lap, Norris got past Ricciardo and moved on quite substantially up the track, and Ricciardo just didn't seem to go anywhere. Do you think we'll see the same tomorrow? I mean, at the start of this race, they're under into the first series of bends before the first hairpin is frantic. They've got a good run. They've got to have slipstream. It's just going to be crazy getting down there. But do you think Norris will do what he done the last time?
I think so. I think Norris is flying just now, isn't he?
Yeah.
really, really unfortunate not to be up on the front. Ricardo still needs a bit more time to get used to this car. I think he's been all right. He's doing all right. He's been pretty solid. I can see Norris getting past him pretty early.
Derek, what Paul's just said there about Ricardo, do you think Ricardo should be up to speed quicker in this car? Let's be honest, he's been through plenty of cars. The type of car he's driving, I get that there's changes, but I mean, this is one of the... He's one of the top 10 drivers in the world, and we stick him into a car that's got a Merc engine, and okay, Norris has had 2 years in that car, but surely Ricardo should be on the pace the whole weekend and actually making the difference to this team as he has kind of promised coming in. Now, I love Ricardo, think he's great, but he just seems to be taking a wee while to get up to speed on this.
Yes, I think he's, as you say, tomorrow I can see Norris going past him first couple of corners if he gets a good run. Even on the first straight, I think he might be ahead of him by the first corner. Ricardo's just not seeming to have gelled yet with the car, and I think that's going to come with another few races. I think we're only on race two, so
let's speak about Gasly in fifth first of all. Fifth in the last race, he had an incident. He took the front wing off and retired later on in the last race. Gasly has got to do better. He's got to finish this race, and he's got to finish it in a positive position. But getting fifth on the grid is again, a great position for the AlphaTauri. It goes to show what Tsunoda could have done with the car before he binned it. But do you think that's, for Tsunoda, it's got to be inexperience. Gasly's shown what the car's capable of, and fifth is a great position, Derek, surely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a good position, I think. But I think that's as high as he can get. Are you with me? I think that's...
Well, looking at the cars in front of him, yeah.
He can only go backwards from there, and Bottas is behind him, and Bottas has got a faster car if it runs. You know what I mean? So if he stays fifth and finishes fifth, he'll count that as a brilliant weekend.
Of course,
if somebody has an accident in front of him, if he capitalises on it like he did last year, he'll count it as double bonus. You know what I mean? So we just have to sit and wait.
Paul, obviously, we've mentioned Leclerc there in fourth already. A great result for them. Again, fourth in the last race. So, or started fourth, finished fourth. Again, it seems like Leclerc, Gasly and Ricardo, they're in positions that, to go forward, we don't think they will. They're going to struggle to make inroads going forward. I get that because there's obviously what should be faster cars in front of them. But to even hold those positions and maybe get in the mix, Ricardo actually getting in the mix, Norris getting in the mix, that midfield battle is what we're going to be looking forward to. Let's move on to what is, I have to be honest, it is a bit of a surprise. Max in third, not where he expected to be. He was fighting out for pole. But then we come to Perez in second. Paul, Perez in second.
Great performance from him. I wasn't expecting that at all for Red Bull to have the two cars together in the top three.
Especially considering where Bottas is in the grid. They must be rubbing their hands and thinking, the tables have turned.
Yeah, and this is the reason why they've put Perez in the seat this year, to get him into these positions, to be up there beside Max at the front of the grid and to cause Mercedes problems. So hopefully we will see that happen tomorrow.
The only thing I would say that's probably detrimental to Perez is he qualified on the softs. And Max, Hamilton and Bottas all qualified, did their fastest lap times in Q2 on the hards. So Max, Hamilton and Bottas are all going to start on hards. Perez is going to have to start on the soft. However, starting on the soft, he might be able to get out there in front and actually stretch his legs. And then, I mean, Red Bull would then have to make a decision on whether to use Max as a blocker or whether to use Max as the lead driver. Derek, how do you see it playing out for Red Bull tomorrow? We've already spoken about how Red Bull seem to mess these things up.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, I think that Red Bull have the chance to let him go forward, you know, but they might be hoping for a safety car. Then they can change him onto the same tyres as Verstappen and an early doors and get him out and change, and then he can be running on the same sort of strategy as them. And then I see if you work it out, I think Verstappen has problems because he would have been fourth if Norris's time had stayed, he would have been fourth on the grid. So I think, as I said yesterday, I think he's having problems. The mind games are working, and he's in a bit of panic mode, and he needs to calm himself down. There's a long season to go. It's only race two, but this should have been theirs. They should have been two races well ahead. They should have had pole positions. They should have had, they seem to be shooting themselves in the foot before they've even started.
The choice with Red Bull having these other drivers, Gasly, Kvyat, Albon, previously in this car, looking at this, putting an experienced driver in the car for Red Bull, the now, is paying dividends with Perez after probably, what is two races, considering where Perez started in the last race. This kind of tells me that the past 3 years, Red Bull have screwed the pooch. Red Bull could have actually been performing with two good guys in the car instead of trying to bring a driver through. And we could have had probably the past 4 years, we could have maybe had a better championship. But I've got to say, with Perez being in this car, it really does go to show that it necessarily isn't the car and it is an experience thing. And Red Bull are dragging these drivers through way too quick. And it's bit them on the arse for the past 3 years. And this is conclusive proof that you put an experienced driver in that car and it makes all the difference. And for the championship, I think it's very exciting. Okay, he's on the softs, but I think strategy-wise, with Bottas out of position, it's going to be great. Hamilton must be sitting there thinking, this isn't what I expected. He's going to have two Red Bulls up his backside for his first stint. And if Max gets round him or they use Perez with the soft tyres, they really are going to have to pull something out of the bag. I mean, they did in Bahrain, but he's not going to have Bottas to help. Hamilton is going to be surprised to get pole position. How do you see Hamilton actually dealing with this? Do you think Hamilton will be able to stretch the tyres out, get that extra sort of time for the pit stop, or do you think he's going to struggle with these two guys behind him?
I don't know. The thing with Hamilton is that you know he's good enough to hold these guys off.
Yeah. On a track that's difficult to get past.
Yeah.
With DRS, etc., in certain places and get past. But overall, the rest of the track, there's not going to be an overtaking opportunity, even Perez on the faster tyres. But you're right. Yeah, I don't know how it's going to play out tomorrow. I think it makes it very exciting for the race. Derek, how do you see Hamilton dealing with this?
He'll struggle. I do see maybe Perez getting past him and then holding him up, compromising his strategy, allowing Verstappen through. I think there is a chance that Verstappen is going to be the one that's let through and told to go to the front, because that's their plan. The master plan of Red Bull is to get Max Verstappen to the top. So it'll be a case of, would you mind pulling over Perez and letting Verstappen through? I think that will come into it. Team orders will come into it, even though they say it won't. I think it will.
Derek, do you think Perez will let him pass? Do you think Perez will toe the party line and actually do as the team request if they ask him?
Yes, if they ask him and say to him, would you mind pulling over? Here's an extra 50 million quid for the next week or whatever they offer him.
Derek, right, let's be honest. They're not going to do that. But from a serious point of view, he's got a year with them and he's in the short window. If he beats Max, surely any team in their right mind would be like, wow, let's really look at Perez. And that includes Mercedes.
But they'll see him as a team player as well. But if he's asked, and it's made publicly that he was asked to move over, he'll be seen as a team player and he'll be, we could have him, he's a good guy, he can perform and he can take orders, and that puts you higher up the window than saying I'm not going to let him through, I'm just going to win this race. It means you're out for yourself. Red Bull have got a habit of getting rid of people if they don't do what they tell them to do. As his point in view, you know, they've got rid of other people halfway through the season.
True, but
sorry, Perez, we've decided, you know.
But they've clearly been underperforming. Perez, if he pulls this off, surely they should have nowhere to go. Paul, what's your take on this? Do you think, I mean, Perez has only got a one-year contract with them. This is his opportunity to shine, regardless of what they tell him to do or what Max wants to do. He's got to be selfish in this situation, surely.
100%. I don't think he would take orders for the team. I don't think he will. Like I say, he's got 1 year, he's got nothing to lose. They're not going to bin him for no following orders. I can't see it. I honestly can't see him doing that.
Do you think Red Bull, being so performance orientated, and we've seen it in the past, could get to a point where they're like, Max, you got to buck up your ideas? I don't think they would get rid of him. Obviously, they've signed a long-term contract and they see him as the future, but could this start to be the first time that Max starts to feel pressure from his teammate? I mean, let's be honest, he's had his feet up for the past how many years with his teammates, even going back to Ricciardo, didn't push him. And this has got to be maybe we're building too much into this. Perez has managed to get second on the grid, but surely this is a sign. That's a shot across the bow of Max Verstappen, his plans to be world champion.
Oh yeah, definitely. As I keep saying, it's theirs to mess up, it's theirs to lose.
Look, the race tomorrow, one stop is the fastest for this, because the pit lane's pretty long. It's a lot of time for them to come in and do a two-stopper. What we're looking at is obviously three guys on hard tyres. Everybody else is either going to be on soft or at the back of the field, they're going to be starting on hard, because the one stop's going to be the optimum strategy over the space of the race.
I think the actual policing of the tracks should be at every race. It should be consistent. Now they've done it, and they've deleted more times, but they've got to be consistent. Now they've got to do that through every race from now on and make sure that the tracks are policed properly.
Paul, obviously, we've seen them install extra yellow like bollards and bumps and circles and stuff around the track, which obviously is making a difference, but there's still obviously certain areas where, I think for safety more than anything else, they're saying, look, don't go across that line, otherwise we'll delete your time. But if they put bollards there, we could wind up with a lot more accidents. But the bollards in the places that they can get away with it are going to make a difference in this race. When the cars go off this track, it's gravel and it's grass. And normally what follows, especially on grass, is a barrier or a wall or something. With these bollards as well, if somebody takes too much of a curb, makes a mistake, we're also going to see places lost a lot easier than if it's just a tarmac runoff area and they basically floor it and off they go. How do you see the race plan tomorrow overall, Paul?
It's a hard one to call, the way qualifying's went. I still think Hamilton will win it, but I think after that, I think we could get a few surprises.
A double McLaren podium, mind we mentioned that? Because Red Bull might totally screw it up.
There's every chance. Yeah, it could happen.
Definitely. The race tomorrow is at 2 p.m. We will be doing the podcast straight after, so you can join us then for that.
Watch out for the safety car. The safety car could be the deciding factor in this race tomorrow, just purely because of all the minor accidents we've had during the practice sessions and qualifying, you know, with the cars going off.
Yeah.
I think that can be an influence on the race tomorrow.
To be honest, Derek, you're right. I mean, last year that was what gave Hamilton the victory as well. The safety car just came at the right time for him. He basically got a free pit stop last year and gave him the win. So there's nothing else really except it's goodbye for me.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them. Take care, stay safe. We'll all be there tomorrow watching the race, and hopefully we'll have a brilliant time. Take care, everybody. Bye for now.
This has been a Beta Cat production for DNF1.